Why should I have to pay child support? She's the one that got pregnant. Can't you argue that any better, Tim?
David, I told you we were starting the show.
Oh, okay. Just let me know when we start.
Attorney-client privilege, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's being waived already.
Judges.
Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is the weekly Hoops HD report. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica, Matt Sikowski, and David Griggs, who is a little bit late on his alimony payments and child support. And
I shouldn't have to pay them.
But
well, what were we telling you about keeping your pants out there, David?
I don't wear pants. I don't even have any legs.
Well, this might be the problem. We're going. Jeez. This is the Hoops HD report where we run through all of the major conferences, the power conferences, the other major multi-bid conferences. We discuss what's going on the last week, what's coming up, and it's been an exciting past season so far. You know, we're about a week and a half into the season already, and we've got one of the best weeks of college basketball until we get to conference tournaments right ahead of us, David, with these all the exempt tournaments this week.
Yeah, more games in the first 3 weeks of October, of November than there are at any other point in the season. I know most people think that March is jam-packed with basketball. Well, November is more packed, at least, you know, from the first day on. So, because, again, these exempt tournaments, nobody gets eliminated. They just keep playing. You have about 100 games a day. And writing them all up gets a little bit exhausting, but they are important, and they have a lot to do with shaping the season. And 1 week from today, when we're back here – things are going to look a lot different, and we're going to. Some teams are going to emerge from doing well in these tournaments. Others, like Northwestern, are going to fall flip, and you wonder that. But I mean, it's kind of like after this week, you kind of have a really good idea. You're not just guessing anymore. You're still guessing somewhat, but yeah.
We had a couple tournaments done already. Nothing, not the big ones like we're going to have this week with the Phil Knight Invitational and with the Maui, which just started today, and you got the Battle for Atlantis and the Advocare and all those coming up. So it should be a great, great Thanksgiving of college basketball. I guess what I want to do here, though, is pull up on the screen if this works, and we just got to cross our fingers sometimes about this actually working.
We're so prepared.
And hopefully we see something there, do we?
Yeah. No, no okay. We do.
Okay, we see the standings there for the ACC, if we did this right. And if not,
it looks jam-packed up there. It is a 15-way tie for first place.
It is a huge tie there if you look at the conference standings. This is the standings pages that we used last year, slightly modified. All these analytic ratings that you see here, such as KPI, KenPom, BPI, Sagarin's and stuff, really come into play a lot later in the season. The predictive ones, the green ones like the KenPom and the BPI kind of, and the Sagarin's all do have kind of some meaning at least early in the season. The other ones, you can see some of them are even blank still. They're just completely useless, just like the RPI.
Where the hell is Joby? What can he get his ratings on?
I think we have one rating that's perfectly valid right here that's circled.
The KenPom.com luck rating. Yeah, we'll talk about all these metrics a lot later in the season.
Beating Wake Forest. Right. Mostly because it's Wake Forest.
In the furthest right columns, you see the latest AP and coaches polls that came out, numbers that came out today. They do go beyond 25. Those are teams that also receive votes and where they would rank if we kept ranking them out. But let's discuss what happened in the ACC this week. And I guess it starts back a week ago, Matt, when Braxton Beverly finally was cleared to play for NC State.
Yeah, that's nice. Gives him some depth in the backcourt. I believe he has a little bit of a reputation as a shooter as well, so also maybe some floor spacing, perimeter shooting to a team that could probably still use it, especially, yeah, like kind of big man focus with Yurt Seven and Malik Abu and that.
And John, one of the big games we saw earlier, almost a week ago now, again, was in the Champions Classic where Duke took care of Michigan State 88-81. How impressed were you with the Blue Devils in that game?
Had to be impressed with the Blue Devils and also impressed with Grayson Allen's performance in this one where he believed he went over 30 points and led the Blue Devils to solidify their number one ranking.
I know Duke has played bye games other than that, but their bye games were against pretty good teams. And it's not the same as beating Michigan State, but they have not once looked anything but really good at any point.
I agree with you. David, another team that's kind of impressed me a little bit has so far has been Syracuse, a 74-50 win over Oakland today. We thought this was a good Oakland team. They blew them out of the building.
Yeah, I thought Oakland at the beginning of the year, 3 weeks ago, I would have said, well, that's a game Oakland can win. Not only did they not win, they did not mess around not winning. Syracuse just blew them open. And again, I don't think Syracuse has left the Carrier Dome, but they've looked good against a couple of decent teams. So, you know, supported or a team that I didn't think would get close to the tournament, looking good so far.
But I think it's also noteworthy to point out that Jalen Hayes, who was Oakland's star player, that was his fourth and final game he was sitting out for, supposedly not making satisfactory progress toward his degree, even though he's scheduled to graduate in December, mind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one of the wonderful NCAA decisions that we've seen so far this year. But luckily, he will start playing. But still, to just not even be in the contest really did shock me. David, we also saw Virginia with a couple nice wins over VCU on the road and really took care of Monmouth fairly easily. We thought this Monmouth team might be something decent after they beat Bucknell earlier this year.
Yeah, I'm starting to think Tony Bennett's pretty good. I mean, I don't want to jump to that conclusion all the facts are in, but I think he might be a pretty good coach. But Virginia, once again, for the third, fourth year in a row, looks to be a lot better than where they were ranked to start the year.
Well, Matt, let's talk about the bottom of the AC also. And there was a lot of bad this week in the conference, too. Let's start with Wake Forest. 79-66 loss to Liberty. And then the Paradise Gym by 3 to Drake and by 5 to Houston.
Yeah, that's a rough little week, especially at Liberty and Drake. Bad. A major conference team that has a pulse has no business losing those games. And I at least thought Wake going into this year was that. I thought they were an NIT-ish team. Probably not tournament, but I think they take a huge step back from last year's team that played in the opening games in the NCAA. This year, man, they look dreadful. And in year four, I believe this is year four of Danny Manning, this is not a good trend. Now, they have an awesome recruiting class coming in next year, but it's still – this is the type of year that creates doubt over the Manning regime at Wake, I think.
Yeah, I like Danny Manning, and I think he will get it going eventually. It's just they're kind of at the bottom of their cycle now. But you can't help but think that Danny Manning was better off when he was at Tulsa and that Tulsa was better off when they had anybody other than Frank Hay.
John, one other team that's kind of at the bottom of the ACC, perhaps Georgia Tech. We thought maybe they'd be competitive this year, they'd be good. They did beat Bethune-Cookman this week, but the final score, look at that game, 65-62. Were you shocked by that score?
I don't know if shocked would be the right word to use just as far as one bye game goes, but I believe the old saying is one's an accident, two is a trend, and three is evidence.
Only two games that they've played.
I don't think I've ever heard that saying, Stolika.
Well, now you have.
What we're going to do is I'm going to change that last column there. We're going to take a look at some of the upcoming games. Notre Dame playing in the Maui Invitational, but we've got a few of the upcoming games, both North Carolina and Duke out in the Phil Knight Invitational this week. Matt, is there anything you're really looking forward to in coming up this week here according to that list on the upcoming games? Other than, of course, I mean, the tournaments, we don't know who they're going to match up with yet.
Yeah, I'm looking at that NC State-Arizona game to where the Wolfpack off to a pretty good start here under Kevin Keats. Now they got Beverly back, who at least is a rotation piece, and you need all hands on deck during these exempt tournaments where you're playing three games in 3 or 4 days. It's I'm wondering against Arizona, who Arizona not challenged so far, looked great as expected, but now taking a step up in competition. And sometimes funny things happen in these in-season tournaments, so who knows? I mean, I'd expect Arizona probably wins by 12 or 15, but maybe NC State sneaks one in or at least keeps it real competitive.
Yeah, and David, look at that Boston College at Providence game. I don't think BC is going to contend with them, but, you know, they are off to a decent 4-1 start so far. They at least competitive even and possibly even win that game. We may be talking BC this season some.
If they get this one, yeah, you have to start thinking of them as not crappy, which is going to be kind of a new concept here. This series has a little bit of a heat to it. I think it's died down quite a bit since they're not Big East rivals anymore, but They didn't play each other for a while. They got it back, and it's not Providence roadie, but it's still a pretty intense game, despite it being seemingly a mismatch, but maybe not as much this year as it has been in past years.
I know they've got – BC's got them at least once recently too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was last year, wasn't it?
Last year, 2 years ago, it might have been, yeah.
Would have been last year because I doubt BC would have won at Providence.
Right.
Well, while we move on here, before we move on, I just want to note that we are recording this around 9:30 Eastern on Monday night. So if some of these records are off when you're actually watching this sometime Tuesday, that's because obviously there are games that haven't gone final yet.
We're live. I've been on tape tonight.
Live on tape delay with a studio audience, I believe, tonight.
Yes.
Let's go over to the Big East, where this week we saw Matt, let me start with you, because let's talk about what we saw today with Marquette advancing through the quarterfinals of the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, that was nice not having to play a top 10 level senior experience team. Instead, you get VCU, a solid team, probably top 100-ish. And that may be NIT, probably not NCAA. But, yeah, I think Marquette looked pretty good, I think, in control of the game. I think led after an ugly 10-3 VCU start. Marquette led basically the rest of the way. Won by 11. And we're up pretty comfortably by about 6 or 8 most of the second half. Howard, Hauser, Rousey all hit some shots, 13 threes. And Eve Cheatham had a nice 12 points. And, yeah, just Marquette looked pretty solid. And, who knows? I think Wichita, this is going ahead a little bit, may have gotten their bad game out of their way today, an ugly game against Cal, but still.
Well, for 28 minutes, it's pretty awesome in the last 12.
John, another big game involving Big East was Xavier winning at Wisconsin by 10 points, your team. The Gavitt ended up being a 4-4 tie between the two conferences as a result of that, and a few of the other scores you see up there. How impressed were you with your Musketeers with that win?
I was quite impressed with Xavier, especially how they closed that one with it being a tie game at just around the 2-minute mark. But a couple clutch threes from Blewett and a dunk by McCura to salt that one away. I mean, it certainly got a little chippy between McCura, Blewett, and the Wisconsin students, but certainly nothing compared to what we saw on the gridiron this week.
Yeah, and David, we talked about it the preseason about this Creighton team. They've done what they always do. Two notable wins this week, not only Northwestern, but tonight they completely they beat UCLA by 11 points, scoring 100 on them.
Right, so that's two ranked teams in November for Creighton. Neither team really had any business being ranked. UCLA still without Ball and the other two guys. Northwestern just hasn't really looked good at all. But, yeah, here comes Creighton ranking up big wins early. They're going to be ranked in the top 10 entering February. They're going to lose 7 of their last 10 or something like that. And then they're going to lose in the round of 64. And they're right on pace to do what they always do.
Quick look at some of the upcoming games here in the Big East. We mentioned already that Marquette and Wichita State squaring off the semifinals in Maui. Villanova's in the battle for Atlantis. Creighton is in the Hall of Fame Classic. I think they're waiting for their second opponent there, which is being played this evening. We also see Butler taking on Texas in one of the PK-80 games coming up. GW versus Xavier, they're out in the Vegas there, Stalika.
Yeah.
I was also going to add a footnote as far as Creighton, and this surprised me when I heard it during the telecast. Apparently it was the first time in Creighton history they actually beat back-to-back top 25 teams.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Really. I mean, maybe not. Butler, it has not looked like an NCAA tournament team, and it's not so much the coaching. I think it's just their personnel. They just don't have the horses this year. Who all is in? I know they open against Texas, but I don't have the bracket in front of me because I'm not prepared. Who else is in their bracket at the PK-80?
John, I think you normally have that information on schedule. So who else do they have?
Yeah, if we're talking about that side of the PK-80, if you'll just give me a few moments, Butler's side is going to include Duke, Texas, Florida, Stanford, Gonzaga, Ohio State, and Portland State.
You're looking at if Butler gets out of there with one win against anyone other than Portland State, I think that that's a success.
I'd agree with you because that's just such a stacked bracket there.
Matt, one of the things not as good as those other teams. Program, they're just this year's edition of it isn't quite what we're used to seeing.
They might be able to get by Stanford, who, even though I was high on them coming into the year, they do not look so hot so far.
Yeah.
And for the record, and that Matt, is what we call the motion bracket of the PK80.
Correct. Matt, the NIT season tip-off is a four-team event. Seton Hall gets Rhode Island first and potentially Virginia waiting for them in the finals of that event. Could be a real telling week for the Hall also.
This is. Now, URI is going to be without E.C. Matthews, who I believe broke his wrist in that exciting Nevada game last week. But, yeah, so I think Hall should probably get by URI in that, especially without E.C. Matthews. And then a likely Virginia game could be real interesting in that this I guess Virginia's not the team to maybe take advantage of Hall sometimes being a little loose with the ball, but this is a big test for the Hall. That'd be a monster win, especially if they have hopes of being a protected seed this year.
All right. Well, let's take a look over here at the Big Ten now, if we're doing things correctly, which was involved with the Gavitt. You see the Big Ten's wins there: Purdue over Marquette, Maryland, Iowa, Illinois beating DePaul there. Iowa over Grambling was not part of the the PK, although that was a game. That's why I noted it there. I think Iowa got a real challenge from Grambling. David, what did you see this week in the out in the Big Ten that really stood out?
How bad Iowa is. I mean, they sweat out Grambling. They lose to Louisiana today. I think they're in a tournament of eight teams where I think I would rank them about seventh behind Richmond, although Richmond won today against UAB. So maybe Richmond isn't as awful as I thought. But Iowa's just look horrible. Everybody else kind of holding serve in bye games. Outside of the Gavitt games, no one's really played in much, minus Michigan State, who lost to Duke, but that's hardly damaging. And it was a back-and-forth game with the November Cobwebs on it. I still think that they're every bit as good as I did before the Duke game. Whiskey playing in a really big game tonight. I think that both Whiskey and Baylor, who are playing as we record this live on tape delay, are better than their rankings, and that we're going to see both of them have bigger years than what was being expected, but not showing it so far yet.
Well, I guess the other team that had a real bad performance was today was Northwestern. Not today, but over the weekend was Northwestern. Beat LaSalle, but then got absolutely pounded, Matt, by Texas Tech. 85-49 was that score.
Yeah, like if they lost to Tech on a neutral court, it isn't starting. I think Tech's a solid little team, probably not as high as this game vaulted them in the predictive ratings, but still potential turning team, especially in a Big 12 that looks a little more open than past years.
Chris Beard is freaking phenomenal, by the way. That's
I was very impressed by Texas Tech. I think we're going to be talking about them in a minute here. We'll get to the Big 12 a little more. Let's just take a quick look at the upcoming games.
I had one more thing about I did a little research, and had they closed the game on a 30-0 run, they would have still lost by six.
Here's some of the upcoming games. Most of these Big Ten teams are actually involved in these events between the two PK80 fields that Michigan State and Ohio State are in, the AdvoCare that Tim Miles is in, Purdue is in the Battle for Atlantis, Maryland in the Emerald Coast Classic. So you got Minnesota with a game against Alabama coming up Saturday. That's a neutral court game at the Barclays Center also. But, John, what are you looking forward to this week in the Big Ten?
I think it's the hope that North Carolina and Michigan State end up in the victory bracket of the PK80 Invitational. But another thing I'm going to be looking forward to is, can Penn State actually get a pair of wins in the Legends Classic, which is about to get underway as we speak against Pitt?
There's nothing legendary about Pitt. What a misnomer.
Yeah, they might be a legendarily bad power conference team.
Yeah. Penn State with a chance though to go ahead to the finals of that event, where they'll get a lot better opponent than Pittsburgh tonight. The Big 12, David, we just started there. Texas Tech, we mentioned, with that huge win over Northwestern, also beat up on Boston College in that same event. How good is this?
Well, I know Matt was a little bit higher on them, so credit to him. Even though I mean, I'm normally right about everything, but I may have been a little wrong on this. I think I'm more surprised by them than anybody else this year, at least as far as how good they are. Northwestern and Iowa being surprises of the other kind, but my God, I mean, it's not just that they've been winning. They look really, really good. And, you know, every preview show we did, every bracket show we did, we just weren't really big on them and we didn't think that they had it. But as far as what they've done so far, they've been as good as anybody in the Big 12. And they're going to win some games. They're going to be tough to beat at home. And they might have what it takes. I mean, if they can steal a couple on the road to get inside the bubble, they've already won three pretty nice games away from home. Or is it two or three? I forget.
Yeah,
but I think that the BC, like BC, might be a top 100 team this year. So that
yeah, they beat them away from home, which is nothing to see. That and they blasted Northwestern.
Yeah, that.
Well, John, I'm not going to call on you because you're going to criticize my typo there on the TCU score, Matt, Iowa State wins the Puerto Rico Invitational. Nice win over Boise for the championship, 75-64. But before that, they lose to Milwaukee, 74-56, a Milwaukee team that turned around and lost to Concordia St. Paul over this weekend. Can you figure this team out?
I think it's just a young team. There's some talent, like Lindell Wigginton at the points, really talented. And then Nick Weiler-Babb. And I think he's found a nice fit in Iowa State after not really fitting in Arkansas. So, yeah, there is some talent there at Iowa State. I think, yeah, they're going to be up and down. Probably in the end of the year, something like 14 to 16 wins overall, and I'd guess only about four or so in the Big 12. But, like, who knows? One of those four, maybe that is, say, like Kansas or a Texas coming into Hilton, and they have a good night where they look, their young talent shows out and doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
When I look at the Big 12 and I look at Iowa State, I don't see Iowa State winning a single road game. I mean, not one.
Yeah, maybe it's Stillwater, but that's yeah about it.
Yeah, I say Stillwater is the best chance. John, here's the upcoming games in the Big 12. Again, we got a couple teams in the PK80, West Virginia and the Advocare. TCU gets New Mexico in the Emerald Coast Classic. Maybe want to circle the Oakland-Kansas game on Friday, though. We talked about Oakland earlier getting their star player back for this game.
I'm actually circling Kansas State right here because they have a chance to get a decent win against Arizona State. And can they actually get a win against Xavier in Las Vegas should they make it to the championship game in that one?
I don't think they're getting that far because Arizona State, when we get to them, they've looked pretty good to start the year.
Who does Xavier have in that first game?
GW.
A GW team that lost to Ryder at home tonight.
Oh, great.
Yeah. well, let's talk. We're just mentioning Arizona State. So let's pull up the Pac-12 standings right here. Matt, why don't we talk about this Arizona State team? Really nice look against San Diego State earlier this week.
Yeah, they just blew them away in that second half. And that, like, that backcourt they go with Evans and Trey Holder, Shannon Evans and Trey Holder, that's a dynamic backcourt. It looks like they've got just enough on the front line with the young team to where, hey, in a Pac-12 that is wide open after Arizona and maybe USC, who knows, maybe they are the third best team and probably at least will get three tournament teams, especially with Arizona alone going to probably pull the weight up. But, yeah, that team, and I always thought Bobby Hurley can coach a little bit as long as he kept his personality in check and he got through to the guys. Now that he has mostly his own players and not the Herb Sender guys are probably an ill fit for his system, this could be the year Arizona State makes a big jump into Pac-12 that, like I said, is wide open after Arizona and USC.
Oh, wide open or it's pretty weak maybe is the answer there. Yeah. And David Eaton, yeah. USC, 93-89 overtime. It was a road game at Vanderbilt.
I thought it was a fairly nice win. Now, I don't think USC is top 10 good. I don't think they're quite as good as the ranking, but they're really good. And, you know, them in Arizona, I could see them running away from the rest of the league. UCLA will be a factor if they ever get their players back. But after that, it's a big drop-off of NIT at best.
Well, wait a second. I don't think that these three I got to take an issue with your statement on UCLA, because I don't think any of these three kids were really supposed to be major contributors on the team this year anyhow. They were all freshmen.
Hill and Riley would have both have been the rotation. Riley might have started over Golemon.
I still don't know that
the ball's the kid, factor. The ball kid's no good. Yeah.
Well, but Matt, the problem with UCLA is they don't even know what defense is. They needed overtime to escape Central Arkansas in a game that Central Arkansas really blew at the end of regulation, and then gave another 100 again today to Creighton.
Well, that's actually, you mentioned the kids are out. Hill and Riley are both fairly athletic, but especially Jalen Hill. That's defense, rebounding, special, like shot blocking, or that. So he would have come in, especially, yeah, because Welsh, even though I really like him as a player, is mostly a one end of the court guy. He's not much on defense, and yeah. So that's where those two kids have the unfortunate of actually hanging around with LeVar Ball's kid. And then now costing the team, that's where UCLA is going to be all offense, no defense, and probably now an NIT team or maybe first four in the NCAA tournament.
Well, Stalika, the team I've been most impressed with.
Even more reason to think they're going to be a good chance, just wrong.
Well, actually, the team I've been most impressed with is John's favorite team out of the Pac-12 here. Colorado won the Paradise Jam with McKinley Wright hitting the shot at the buzzer to freshman who looks great in that Paradise Jam for them to get that 76-9 win over Quinnipiac in the first round. They did take the title. John, are you on the Colorado bandwagon?
I'm on the Colorado bandwagon as far as November and December goes. I mean, it did set Quinnipiac into a tailspin where they ended up finishing eighth in that tournament, barely losing out to Liberty in the seventh place in that one.
Colorado that set Quinnipiac into a tailspin. Prior to that, they were still together.
Anyway. Still, I don't know, David, 5-0 is 5-0, isn't it?
Yeah, and they did. They got three wins away from home. They won the Paradise Jam in the U.S. Virgin Islands that were transplanted to Liberty in Virginia due to the hurricane. But, you can't expect them to do any better than that. Honestly, I didn't think they would. So I can't.
But thankfully, their schedule is not going to be weighed down by Wake Forest this year.
Yeah, they're also unbeaten in the front range games, but I don't think they're the best front range team. We're going to get to that a little bit more by another front range team that did very well in their tournament, or has done well so far.
The other team on just note here, Stanford did lose that game to Eastern Washington. That was 67-61. That's a typo on the screen there. They lost that game, not won it. But
watch out for that tonight, though. I think sometimes when you have a big early season showcase game at home, you tend to lurk past your early games. Now, again, they still should have beaten Eastern Washington, but that's going to be an electric crowd tonight. And don't be surprised if they squeeze North Carolina.
Yeah, that game's coming up tonight. Here's some of the other games we're going to see this week, as they've got Oregon and Stanford in the PK. Arizona, as we mentioned earlier, going up against NC State in the battle for Atlantis. Matt, what are you looking for this week in the Pac-12? Including that big game Sunday night, I think, maybe, is the one to look at there.
Well, yeah, that's a huge one where I know I see that was one of the first – they went to, I believe, to A&M and won last year. That was considered an upset that really didn't turn out to be. But this year – I'd have to favor A&M in that. They look so good to start the year. And I think it's a tougher team. USC, especially, no D'Anthony Melton. He was the one guy I think was a little tougher, a little harder nose. Otherwise, I think that's an SC team that's kind of soft. So I think A&M might bully them with Big Bob Williams and Tyler Davis down low.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's move over to the SEC now. There it is, where we see John. Let me start with you here. We just mentioned that A&M team, but how about some of these other teams? A couple of teams that struggled, such as Georgia, really struggled for a couple of wins this week.
I'm not looking so much at Georgia, but I'm looking at Florida, who actually had to go tooth and nail against last year's team of the people in New Hampshire. They didn't pull one in that one until the final 30 seconds in the swamp.
Yeah, that was surprising because they put 100 up in their first two games, and then, man, barely beat a not-so-hot New York Knicks team. Or...
Yeah, South Carolina also suffering a loss, David, to an Illinois State team. This is not last year's Illinois State team. This is not quite that
good. No, it certainly isn't last year's South Carolina team.
It definitely isn't. They did get fifth place. They did win two games in Puerto Rico, though, at least. But let's take a look, Matt, at some of the upcoming games you're going to see in the SEC this week, including Tennessee starting with Purdue in the battle for Atlantis, and the rest of the games that we see listed there.
Yeah, that's an opportunity for Tennessee to where, like, that's a tough draw, though. I mean, unfortunately, I saw a person, Purdue's really good. And that one, I think Tennessee could be a threat to make a run in some other fields, but in Atlantis, that's going to be hard, at least on the winner's side of the bracket. Maybe off of the consolation, they pick up a couple. But that – it's still – it's an interesting game, though. Like, yeah, Tennessee, better than we thought. And then I think with Rick Barnes and, like, a well-put-together roster for his style of play, I think you're going to see them do more damage to the SEC than initially thought.
Is that Arkansas, Oklahoma?
David, that is Arkansas, Oklahoma in the first round of the PK-80. That's a game that I'm really circling. I think that's going to be a great game, and that's a quarterfinal.
I think both teams are a lot better than what they've gotten credit for. Arkansas is one of the teams, along with Texas A&M, that has really impressed me the most. But I mean, Texas A&M, we were kind of expecting it, but this is a good Arkansas team, and I think it's a pretty good Oklahoma team too. Like, don't be surprised if Arkansas goes out to the PK-80 and makes quite a bit of noise.
Florida versus Stanford, a quarterfinal game in the other bracket in the PK-80. So that shows you what type of tournaments those are. John, let's take a look over at the American, where Cincinnati, as we record this, just barely survived a game against Buffalo in the Cayman Islands Classic, winning that game by 6. Not even updated to show that win there on the screen yet. But what have you seen so far this past week in the American?
Well, we can actually go to another exempt event that is not listed on our schedule because it's not actually in tournament format, but Tulane actually got a couple wins themselves out in Jamaica, so they're actually 4-0 under Mike Dunleavy.
Yeah, maybe the best team in the state of Louisiana, David.
Yeah, probably so, which is saying a lot. Now, I know 4-0 isn't 14-0, but I mean, this is the first time Tulane has not been putrid in recent memory. And who knows? I mean, they could finish 24-26, but off to a good start so far. Wichita State, again, out in Valley. Everyone else, they haven't really done anything with win by games. I mean, I know bigger challenges are coming, but those are bloated records against crap teams.
Not necessarily a Temple.
Temple, yeah.
They won the challenge. It's not a super event, but you beat Clemson, you beat Auburn, at least power conference teams.
Yeah, I forgot.
That's the game I wanted to mention. Their Temple actually looked pretty nicely in Charleston there, Matt. I was very impressed with them. Definitely a team I want to keep an eye on all season. I guess one other thing of note here, one of the biggest problems with the American is the bottom of it. South Florida, even though they've picked up 2 wins so far, is not good. East Carolina barely survived their game tonight. They lost to Central Connecticut 79-68. I mean, Central Connecticut.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And Houston losing to Drexel, the Paradise Jams, not helping. So that's hard. Like, it really reminds me of the old Conference USA where you've got plenty of legit high major power teams at the top of the league.
That's where
Louisvilles, the Marquettes, the Memphises, when they actually had good coaching and good rosters, Cincinnati's, and that even back, that was kind of, DePaul had more of a pulse back then, and now, but then you still had the East Carolinas, the South Floridas, all that weighing it down, and now, fast forward to 2017, you've got Cincinnati, you've got now Wichita, you imported in, SMU is at their high point of their career at Temple, but then Memphis is in a down cycle, and it's bad. Like, the South Floridas and East Carolinas are still just as bad as they were in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I still like Cincinnati in this league. I mean, I know that they weren't that good today, and they haven't really done anything to date, but it's still really early. I think that their ceiling is really high, and when they start playing quality teams, they're going to bring it.
Two things. First of all, I want to give a quick score update. We just talked to SEC a few moments ago, but Missouri today did just barely survive against Emporia State at home. So congrats to the Tigers. Hard fought victory against all of them. Just some of the upcoming games that we see here in the American, though. SMU in the battle for Atlantis is always a great field. UConn going up against Oregon in the first round of the PK80. Northern Kentucky could pick up a road win there at Memphis, David.
Yeah, they could. In fact, I think they will. I think they're better than Memphis, although are they so much better that they're able to win in Memphis? NKU kind of blowing it against Vermont, and what was a really good game. We'll save that one for under the radar, but don't be surprised if Northern Kentucky goes to Memphis.
And, John, let's take a look at the Atlantic 10 here. The big story was St. Louis with that nice, nice semifinal win against Vatek. Yeah, they got blown out by Providence in the finals, but I called this team at the beginning of the year. Are you joining me yet?
I'm not going to join the St. Louis fan wagon just because of a win against Virginia Tech, which may or may not hold water at the end of the year. But I think if we have to look at some other teams that had struggles this weekend, Dayton got sixth place out in South Carolina this weekend, including losses to Hofstra and Old Dominion. Not a good week for the Flyers.
Yeah, Stalico with another strong take. They may or may not be there. I think you've pretty much covered.
No, I've said Dayton's not going to be there.
Good job.
I think what's striking here is you only have one team that's still undefeated.
Yes,
that's exactly where I was going to go back. When you look at that, you normally see this early in the season, if you're a power conference, you've got half your teams undefeated, and you don't have that in the A-10. Are we down to is this going to have a shot at being a single bid A-10 this year?
It's a real possibility, especially like Rhode Island. I think this is unlucky that E.C. Matthews gets hurt, but if they lose two or three more games while he's down with his broken wrist.
Is he going to be back this year, or is he just done?
No, I think it was like a 4 to 6 weeker, but that's
okay.
Especially in a league like this where you need to make some hay out of conference. They're big underdogs against Hall now, where before that I would have given them at least a puncher's chance in that game.
Yeah.
And that now like that I will say that SLU, I think that SLU win over Vatek is gonna hold some water. I still think Vatek's a good team. They had a bad shooting night there, but that's still NCAA 22 win type team for me. Upper half of the bracket, I think, like 7-8 seed type team.
Let's look at a team that, again, I don't know if they'll be there in the end, but much improved last year over the train wreck that they were prior to. George Mason went to Louisville, really, really competed, first game of the season, and that's the only game they've lost. Could they have a pulse this year?
Well, yeah, I think Pat Flaherty is a good coach.
What was that, Matt? Sorry.
I would say Pat Flaherty is a good coach. Did a tremendous job at Bucknell. One of the reasons I like – besides I did like Davidson roster, but like going into this year when an open conference week, whatever I want to call it, I want to go with good coaches. So, yeah, like I said, I like Bob McKillop and Davidson. Hey, Pat Flaherty and George Mason, why not?
Yeah, and you have other teams.
Make a move there anyway, I think, after the goal. Is it third or fourth year there now?
Yeah. And, you know, St. Bonaventure, a team we really liked. I realized they weren't at full strength, but nothing impressive yet. Although the power outage was entertaining. Game canceled because of a power outage, one of the most A-10 things ever. But who else in this league looks good? I mean, Richmond stinks. Fordham is bad, and it's just – you know, why not George Mason? When you compare it to the rest of the league, they've looked as good as anybody.
Well, a couple things here. It's Dave Paulson at George Mason, not Flannery.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave Paulson. I couldn't think of that.
Okay. Let's get our coach correct, first of all, guys. Just a couple notes here on the 18th. First of all, David, that St. Bonaventure game was made up tonight. John, you focused it on there. The best team in or near Pittsburgh, Robert Morris this year, correct?
Yep, right out of the Northeast Conference. Of course, that one we have to circle it just for that reason alone.
All right. And here's some of the upcoming games we're going to see out of the A-10. LaSalle coming up against Miami, Rhode Island in the preseason, NIT like we mentioned. UMass going up against Minnesota and BYU at the Barclays. Richmond hopes hosting Georgetown. Anything a note here, David, that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, I mean, it's Georgetown at Richmond. Who stinks more? That's going to be all right. You don't need to watch it. You can just skip all of these. Rhodey at Seton Hall was one we had, that I had circled for a while, but without such a key player, I just don't think they have a chance.
No, Chad, we have to buzz him here because anytime you have a Big Five game, that has to get priority here, especially with Temple still unbeaten.
That's a big 4.5 game. Have you seen LaSalle this year?
Well, I would say, let's, if they have any hopes, that'd be a real good idea to win that Maryland game.
Yeah. I can see that one.
Let's go ahead and head over to the West Coast Conference where, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, both undefeated like we thought they would be. The Zags struggled a little bit with Utah State, but then put them away. The biggest surprise so far, Matt, has been BYU, who picked a real nice win against Princeton, then turned around and lost to Arlington. So they are good, they're not good.
Yeah, that's about what BYU is, especially with those guys like Emery and Hawes. Unfortunately, they're not quite like their older brothers, who I think had a little more consistent games where the younger versions might be as talented, but, man, they're so up and down, and that's what you're going to see. Like, a real nice win over Princeton and then basically getting housed by Arlington. And that, unfortunately, could probably be kind of the theme this year for BYU.
So, note to Gonzaga, do not schedule Arlington next year because you saw what happened this year and you saw what happened to St. Mary's last year when they faced the Mavs at home.
Yep, and David, this is we'll find know a little bit more about these two West Coast Conference teams this week with St. Mary's and the Wooden and the Zags and the PK80.
Yeah, St. Mary's, I know it was a home game, and there's nothing particularly special about New Mexico State, but they're not bad. And for them to run away from them like they did after it was a hard-fought game for about 30 minutes, I was impressed. I like the St. Mary's team. I think their schedule stinks. They did themselves no favors in making a strong case for themselves, playing such a weak out-of-conference schedule. But they're pretty good. I mean, they're going to have this bloated record with no good wins, but they're a good team.
Let's turn to the last conference we're going to hit for tonight, Mountain West Conference, where Nevada is off to a 4-0 start, Matt, wins over Rhode Island and Pacific this week. I think they're the best team in the league. I don't know if you have somebody else you've seen so far that you like as well, though.
No, I like San Diego State going into the year, but like their second half against Arizona State's knocked them out of that top team discussion for a while. Now, go ahead. If they could go and win the Wooden, which I still think's a possibility, then all of a sudden maybe they're back in the conversation for number one in the league.
Yeah, but I think this is also going to be a segue for a team like Wyoming. If we're talking under the radar standards, you have to like their win at Oregon State and also their opener against South Dakota State. But if we're talking NCAA tournament standards like we are in the Hoops HD report, not quite there yet.
I like this Wyoming team, though, because to win, those were two wins they got away from home. And South Dakota State isn't bad at all. And, again, it gets them on the right side of the bracket of that tournament that they're in. I'm on board with this Wyoming team. I think they're going to end up at or near the top of the standings and at least be in the discussion.
A couple games, David, to look forward to this week. Colorado State on the road at New Mexico State. Nevada with an interesting road test all the way out at Hawaii also.
Yeah, that Nevada-Hawaii game is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that one. I mean, New Mexico, TC. I mean, yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat for that New Mexico TC game.
Yeah, that's going to probably be a bad night for the Lobos.
Why are you even
It's just to note here the two teams, game between two teams that we did were in conferences that we were discussing tonight, and I had to put something on there, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's go ahead and pull that down here. And David, do you have any other topics you want to bring up for the evening?
The exempt tournaments this time of year, with it being Thanksgiving, you just have to remember under the holidays what's really important. And what's really important is exempt tournaments. not your family. What the hell's wrong with them? They can't take care of themselves. But it's just all week long basketball wall to wall. And it's just a great time.
Yeah, Matt, any other final thoughts from you?
Well, I was going to say, to put like some actual thoughts by that initial idea of public. I think this is really where tournament bids are starting to get earned, conferences, build up their resumes. You're like, and the whole saying teams earn bids, not conferences, I think that's actually a lot of bunk. Conferences, if you have a strong time this year, and of course, being a Big East guy, I'm looking to see how does Nova do in Atlantis. Marquette off to a good start here in Maui. Does Xavier do well in Vegas? Does Hall do well at the preseason IT? Do St. John's do well at the Advocare? It's opportunity. I think the Big East has looked pretty solid to start the year. This could be the week to where strong performances, and you're looking at again at somewhere like 6 or 7 bids for the league.
I agree. This is going to be a huge week that is going to resonate throughout the entire season because of you have even more great, really good tournaments than normal with the two PK80 brackets this year. But John, let me let you finish it off with any other final thoughts from you.
We hit on the Great Alaska Shootout last week as far as that being the last tournament, but there's also going to be the end of an era of sorts with the Maui Invitational tonight because starting next year, Chaminade is actually going to be in the field every other year because the 2018 field is going to include Arizona, Duke, Xavier, Iowa State, Illinois, among others. But what's going to happen is starting next year, Chaminade is actually going to be part of Maui on the mainland in even years, and they'll actually be part of the mainline Maui Invitational in odd years.
You know who really gets jammed up by that is the other three Maui on the mainland teams who could really use a Division I opponent. Anyway.
Yeah, and as far as leaving Chaminade out of this event, I've got one thing to say about that.
And why is Chaminade making a decision to leave themselves out of their own event? It's like, who is the genius that came up with that? Anyway.
No, I think they should be playing in this event. That's been the whole point of the event from day one. Very disappointed in the decision there. And you know we love the PacWest Conference that Chaminade is in. Also home to the team of the people, Cal Baptist.
Yes.
Undefeated, David. Including a win over UC San Diego. They beat UC San Diego this week, which was the team that knocked them out of the D2 tournament last year. Big revenge victory for the Lancers.
Huge. Oh, they're going to win it all. Win it all the way. You're the Lancers.
All the way to Super Bowls. Super Bowls. On that note, though, on behalf of John Salica, Matt Sikowski, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again all real soon. And have a great day.